Or if it's the guy, you know, oh, Lord, like she said, don't get you started. I go downtown, you know, I don't need a wrench. I don't need a tool. I don't need a new toolbox. But I walk into a place where they got all this stuff, and I cannot walk out of there without buying something. You know what I mean, Jack?
Exactly.
You know exactly what I mean. All I got to do is say, Dave, I'm going down to the tool place. He says, oh, he said, I was going to, but I'll go. I want to go with you. Dave, he's got those lustful youth. He likes to go shop for tools, too. So what does that say? He's a good, normal man. Is that right? Men have different lusts than women, right? But if we're human beings, and we all are, are we going to have to fight those things all of our life? Yes, you're going to have to fight them, but you can overcome them. We are human, but we don't wage war with human plans and methods. Okay, now this is something that's really important. You want to get things done, you need to learn who you are in Christ. You can change people. It says, verse 4 says, we use God's mighty weapons. Man. God's mighty weapons, not mere worldly weapons to knock down the devil's stronghold. Now then, when I looked at the internet news this morning and yesterday, I'm looking at that big aircraft carrier with 6,000 men and all them airplanes over there in the sea in the South Korea. And then I'm looking at all these missiles that are all over the place, nuclear missiles from China and North Korea and everywhere else, all aimed at this aircraft carrier. You know, they're just waiting for a reason to push the button. Does that sound like human weapons?
Yep.
Yes, it is. Is that the way we fight as a rule? Yes. Nations fight against nations with those things. But that's not the way we fight, is it? When we kneel and come to prayer, did you know that a righteous man, if somebody were to tell us that China just fired a big giant missile at either this country or our aircraft carrier or anything else, and if you had two or three or four men or women of God that heard that and they were serious with God, they could fall on their face and ask God to direct that thing back out into the open sea, guess what would happen? It'll do it. That's exactly right. And that's the weapons we fight with, isn't it, Bill?
Amen.
I mean, we have no reason to be afraid of anything. We have got the King on our side. But what's he been telling us? You have to get rid of how much wickedness?
Oh.
How much purity? How pure are you to be? Pure and holy. So when you kneel in his presence, his holiness just engulfs you. And you walk right into the Holy of Holies. And that's when he's saying, my son, my daughter, what do you have need of today? Come in and ask me for anything. And I will do it for you. Is that an awesome privilege? Awesome. But you know, most of us don't even think like that. We don't even think like that. You know, when we think about the world and how the world's fighting and we get into fear and everything else, we don't think about it. The power we have been given by our Lord. He's awesome, but our weapons are not carnal. They're mighty weapons. They're God's mighty weapons, not merely weapons to knock down, and they are not merely worldly weapons. They knock down the devil's strongholds. Now let's go another verse here in 5 and 6, and let's see what this says. With these weapons, we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons, we conquer their rebellious ideas, and we teach them to obey Christ. Now, what is the greatest weapon that Christ has given to you and me that you can think of? Just name me one. The Word of God. Okay, Kim's just going to throw it all out there. She's going to say, I got the Word of God. What I was looking for is things like the name of Jesus. That's in the Word. That's where we learned it. But how much power and authority do you and I have in the name of Jesus?
All.
Isn't that awesome? How much power do we have over the devil in the name of Jesus?
All.
Now, why is it that we don't realize this? Why is it, yeah, in other words, the blood of Jesus, that's one of the most powerful things in the universe, isn't it? Yeah. So we take these mighty weapons, and when we come to God in prayer and pray about anything and everything, and then what is the next most powerful weapon after we pray? What is the next most powerful weapon?
Believe.
Believe. That's exactly right. Believe you have received, and then what's the next one after that?
Praise Him.
Cheryl hit it right on the head. Praise Him. After you pray, you got to know your prayer was heard, right, Bill? And you got to believe it. You got to know He heard it. Then you got to believe it's done. And then you need to worship Him and praise Him and thank Him, because there is great power in praise.
And love.
And love. Oh, you got to walk in love. You ain't walking in love, nothing works. If you're out of your love walk with God, nothing works. Our faith works through love. In fact, we'll come back right here in a minute. Put that scripture, Galatians 5:6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 on the board, and then we'll come right back here to 2 Corinthians 10. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, it makes no difference to God whether we are circumcised or not circumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. So what's the secret?
Love.
Faith expressing itself in love. If we could all just walk there. My prayer is for us this week, with me and each one of you. God, show me how to be more lovable. I mean, yeah, I'm a man. You know, I'm just an old, rough, tough guy. And, yeah, sometimes. Cheryl said, sometimes you really are rough, tough. But, you know, like she said a long time ago, I am a diamond in a rough, and God's working on the edges. He's taking off them sharp edges. But I got an idea that some of you may be just like me. You may have a few little rough edges on your diamond too. And if you do, He's working on you too. Is that right? Yes. Praise God, He's working on us. For what is important is faith expressing itself in love. Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians 10, where we were. It says, with these weapons we break down every proud argument that keeps people from knowing God. With these weapons we conquer their rebellious ideas, and then we teach them to obey Christ. I mean, I think about when I learned these scriptures years ago and believed they meant what they said, and that my weapons were His weapons, and that in the name of Jesus I had power over the devil. Many of you have heard me tell the story about the little guy that called into Daystar. When he called in and says, you know, I need prayer. My wife has left me and the children, and she's gone to work in a strip club. I said, well, your wife's not saved, is she? He said, no, she's definitely not saved. I said, well, let's go to the throne of grace for her. Now then, the Lord told us in Hebrews 4:16 to come into the throne of grace. How?
Boldly.
Bold. You know what that means? It don't mean, oh, God, Lord, if it be your will, please, will you have mercy on this poor, stupid girl? No, that's not what it means at all. It means I have given you as my son authority and power when you walk into my throne room. So walk in there and demand the devil get his hands off of that girl in my name, the name of Jesus. And so when you do that, you go in there and kick that devil out. First thing you do, you go in there praising the King. That's the first thing you want to do when you come into the throne room of God. Lord, I praise you and thank you that you've given me, your son, your daughter, the privilege to come into the throne room of God anytime I want to ask you whatever I want to in times of need. So He didn't restrict us, did He? So you come in there and you praise Him and worship Him for a few minutes, and then you speak directly to the devil and tell him he's got to get out of this girl's life. You are not going to let him do this. These are your weapons. Use them for the glory of God. Right, Sharon? You kick that devil out of her. Then you ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to open her eyes where she can see the truth of the Word of God. Now, a while ago when we read that, perhaps if you teach and do all this right, God will move on that person's heart. Is that what He said?
Yeah.
Now, when God moves on her heart, you're going to see something happen, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. You should be expecting it. That's what I was doing. And I asked the Lord to send the wonderful Holy Spirit to convict that girl of sin, bring her into the kingdom, gloriously save her. I asked Him to use her husband to be the laborer to save her if possible, if not to send the right one. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you. I claim that girl, spirit, soul, and body for you and service under your kingdom forever in Jesus' name. And I said, son, call me with your praise report. And I hung up the phone. Well, the next week when that boy called in, he told me that within an hour after we prayed that prayer, his wife, his ex-wife, called him and said that, you know, she didn't understand what she was doing down there in that club. It's like scales fell off her eyes and she could see. Now, who had been blinding her eyes? Of course, the enemy. He had her captive at his will. And she was captive at his will all the time. And one day he moved on her heart, took her out of her home with her husband and two wonderful children, and put her in a strip club stripping before men. But she got gloriously saved that night. They got married 3 days later. They went and got their marriage license the next day, and 3 days later they got married, and everything in her home is great, and I kept up with them for the next 2 years or so, and they were blessed the whole time. But what really shocked me, and I know God didn't tell me this because he would have known where my faith level was, when I asked a young man, well, how long has she been gone? I thought she'd been gone a month or two. When he said she's been gone 14 years. 14 years. I almost dropped my teeth. 14 years. And see, I'm glad he didn't say that before. If he said, my wife's been gone 14 years, I'd have probably said, well, I don't have the faith to pray for that. I don't think I could get her home. But see, you should never think like that, should you? God's mighty weapons, you have how much power?
All.
All power. If you're walking pure, holy, and got rid of all wickedness out of your life, you're putting the King first. You're in His Word. You know what the Word says. And when you do start to come to the throne of grace, you say, oh, by the way, Father, you said in Hebrews 4:16, you think that makes God feel good about you when you know where the Scripture... Oh, and by the way, devil, it's written in Luke 10:19 and 20, I got all power and authority over you in the name of Jesus. Don't you think the devil says, whoa, here's a girl or a guy that knows who he is or she is. And the Lord said, yes, listen to that. They got some power. They got my word in them. And you can do great and wonderful things for the kingdom of God, can't you?
Yes,
you can do great things. Now somebody said, well, I prayed that prayer for my son or my daughter, and it hadn't worked yet. Well, don't give up. If it don't work, go to the Lord first and say, Lord, if I got something in my life that you got your ears plugged up.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Use God's Mighty Weapons, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.